juice up for another one.
Juice up.
Okay.
So, are you current on Leftovers yet?
No.
I saw you watching the other day.
Yeah, I watched that Nora episode. I can't watch multiple episodes of the show at a time. This is a show I gotta watch one, and then I gotta reflect on for a long time.
You're about to get to crazy white guy thinking.
Listen, I saw the Australia bit, and those four women on those fucking horses, and then they fucking killed that guy, and then he came out, and I'm like, oh, god damn it. So.
Yeah, the next episode you have is all him.
Oh, thank god.
There's all him, then there's the episode where Kevin and Nora get to Australia, and the stuff they do in Australia. And the episode that just aired on Sunday is Matt, Lori, John. Yeah, Matt, Lori, and John trying to get to Australia. Mm. And it's mostly a Matt-centric episode. Mm. It's a Matt world.
Is that name of the
That's the name of the episode.
That's awesome. Fucking Doctor Who. That's what I got.
It's a great episode, too.
Has everybody seen Sense8 yet?
I finished it today.
Seems like we can...
Oh, good. Listen, this pressure's been building for a while.
What pressure?
The pressure of wanting to talk about this and not being able to.
What do you mean?
We talk about it all the time. Yeah,
just on the podcast, I think. Yeah.
So what do you think, Tony? Do you think it was as good as the first season?
Wait, what are we doing? Is this are we using this as content, or are we just discussing it?
Yes. What difference does it make? I always leave... As soon as I hit record, unless somebody's talking about some very specific thing that is obvious they don't want out in the world, I leave this in. So it doesn't matter.
Get giant boil on ants, Lance. Fuck, man, why can I not talk today? Is it because half of my throat is obstructed?
Probably.
By a second uvula? Did I tell you about this?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everybody. So, when I'm found strangled in my apartment, I haven't actually been strangled.
By your own uvula?
Yeah. It's by the second uvula.
By his second vulva.
Yeah.
what I think it is, I think it's a Siamese twin that you absorbed.
What, come back for revenge?
Yeah.
That's the longest revenge play.
Just been growing stronger.
Is Siamese twin still like an accepted...
Conjoined twin?
Conjoined twin is the... That's the one.
Did I do an offensive?
Alex went on the offensive again.
I didn't actually know. Like, it just came to mind that it's... probably there's a better word now.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't blink an eye at that one, but yeah, you're right. It should be conjoined.
All right.
Do I also have to get in on this jostle condemnation thing? You're never going to change me.
What is up with you tonight? Whatever we're talking about.
Well, I'm not happy about this Siamese topic.
The pump has been primed,
yeah,
I guess.
Jesus.
My pump primes backwards. That's the Dark Tower thing, actually. That's totally... God damn it. Every Dark Tower fucking fan listening right now is like, that's solid.
Okay.
Blaine the Mono. Wastelands. T.S. Eliot. TikTok, man.
Congratulations. I don't know how to respond to any of this.
All right, what are we allowed to talk about?
So are we talking about Sense8?
Are we talking about Sense8?
I thought that's what we were talking about. I finished it.
I'm fine.
Alex started a conversation, and then David interjected with a conversation about, I don't even know.
Four conversations away.
Yeah.
His extra vulva.
Four conversations away. Listen, I slept worse last night than I did previously, and I woke up at 5.
He's ornery.
I'm in a mood.
Clearly.
I'm in a mood. I can't talk. I can't breathe.
He's not even drinking.
I know.
Weird.
Certainly. This is definitely one of the stages, but we have not gone through
maybe,
any of
maybe
the
we need
stages.
To get him some Fireball just to push him.
Yeah, to get him.
Get him over the hump.
You know who pushed over the hump?
probably Wolfie. I was going to say probably somebody from the Dark Tower.
Right? No. Wolfie. There was no humps in the Dark Tower. Wolfie pushed over the hump of our hearts.
Wolfie can push over D's humps.
It's true.
It is true. It's true. You know it's true.
It's very true.
All right.
Alex, you brought this conversation.
So Alex asked the question.
Oh, it fucking ended on a cliffhanger.
And I'm going to answer it.
It's a huge question. Cliffhanger.
No. It was not as good as season one. It was far more uneven.
Are you saying that because there were no orgies in this one?
That was also distressing.
There was a distinct lack of Sense 8 orgies.
No, because I don't... There were other orgies in this that took me out of the story that I was trying to watch.
Were you also watching porn?
No.
No. Are you talking about the heavy-handed...
All of the heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of heavy-handed. Like, a lot of different heavy-handed.
It's not like the show hasn't always been, like, super heavy-handed.
No.
Super heavy-handed.
It felt... Season one felt more even. Like, it felt like there was just a more even thread between inclusion and the science fiction story that's pushing the plot forward. And this season just felt like, we're going to focus on the story. No. Now we need to focus on including people. Now we need to focus on the story. Now we need to focus on including people. And it just didn't feel as... organic. I don't know.
So here's the thing. I think it did feel organic. I think the real problem is that they are clearly telling a story that is two seasons long.
And this season?
Yeah.
This
and the next season. But that doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, it's hard to piece together, like, a plot thread this way.
Yeah.
Because it's not like there's no consistent... Like, the cliffhanger isn't a consistent cliffhanger overall. There's just, like, so many dangling... things just hanging out there.
The cliffhanger could have happened in any episode.
Yeah. It could have happened in any episode.
That's how I felt too. I was like, this is the last episode?
Yeah, this felt like episode 6. I mean, just randomly pluck an episode out of the season. There were episodes that just ended on cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Or ended in a moment and then, like, watching on Netflix where you skip, like, where it skips the credits intro. And then, like, well, the outro, the ending credits and the intro credits, it's like...
Mine doesn't do that.
Really? Mine does.
Really?
Mine does.
Yeah.
Ours skips the outro, it doesn't skip the intro.
Mine does both. Well, I watched on computer, so...
Ours will skip the outro and intro if I let it play back to back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, if you start a new episode, it plays the intro credits. I can click on a thing that says skip the intro. It saves me, like, when I'm watching multiple episodes, it saves me like 6 or 7 minutes.
How long intro?
Well, it's the ending credits and then the intro credit. It's like a 2 minute intro credit almost.
I know. That's a long fucking intro.
But yeah, it just felt like there were scenes in it that just, I understand there were celebrations of things, but I didn't care. I didn't care for the length of the celebration. Like, show me a celebration, but don't show me 5 minutes of it. Like, in the middle of an episode where you also have this, you're driving toward this thing that you're gonna then stop this and then go toward the action, the driving the plot. And it was like, it was clear there were two masters being served here and both were really fighting for equal time, and it didn't work for me.
The main complaint I have about this season is... No, it's...
Wait. Did you guys hear that?
There were too many conflicts to pay attention to. Everybody had somebody hunting them or trying to kill them for some reason. Like, everybody.
Hasn't that always been the case?
They literally all have someone hunting them.
But before it was, like, whispers. And, like, some of them had their own, like, struggles. But now... You have the political upheaval in, what country is he in?
Kenya,
in Nairobi. Mm-hmm. And then you have Wolfie being hunted, and then you have...
He was always being hunted.
Wolfie's plot is exactly the same as
Wolfie's season one. It was the same thing.
Yeah. But then you also have Colin.
He gets thrown in that he meets another sensei.
Everything just escalated.
Yeah.
Everything escalated.
You have Kala. So whatever is going on with her husband.
She's not really being hunted.
No, but there's something weird going on with her husband.
Right.
It's the same plot as season one for her.
Yeah.
But you know what? I thought at season one you guys were like, oh, nothing's happening with Kala's story.
Like, I liked Kala's story.
Kala's so boring.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah, I know. It was a flawless impression. That's because I thought that was
I knew that it was yeah. you.
I like that they finally realized, oh, hey, we have a fucking chemist. We can use her to do things.
They realized it in like the very last episode.
Yeah, yeah. She was doing...
They definitely didn't utilize her enough in the first season. Right.
So, like, I like Kala doing things, but I dislike that there's also tension with Kala's husband and that guy whose name I can't remember.
Why? She gets a story.
Does she? Because the story is kind of, my husband's doing some stuff.
But really?
She has a conflict of faith. She has a conflict in her personal relationship. She has a conflict in her feelings with Wolfie. Like,
also the whole Wolfie's dick conflict.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's
come
a,
on.
That's quite a conflict.
She has conflict. To...
Multiple it conflicts does feel, over the course of the evening.
Conflicts.
It also feels like with Kala that they've had to make her husband shady in some way.
That's what I said to Alex.
To help her get over the fact that she's fucking cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the one thing
that's exactly what I said to Alex.
You know, it just bugs me, like, because like even the shady that he is. Isn't that shady?
No, I mean, that's what I said to Alex. I was like,
that we know. I mean, we
it's
don't
perfectly
really know.
Acceptable that she's not in love with this dude, but he's a decent human being. I mean, like, by all measures, he is
selling bad drugs.
Yeah, that's kind of
yeah. That was
so.
But they didn't introduce that until what?
Yeah, no, you're right. They introduced that until way later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like.
Because
this was clearly manufactured
today in my watch, and I mean, that was like episode 8 or 9. Yeah, I mean,
it was clearly manufactured.
I think it would have been more interesting if he had been totally fine, like just
a good guy,
and then Kala's like struggling with deciding between him and Wolfie. I think that would have been an interesting.
That's not how any of the like even Wolfie. Wolfie's a bad dude.
Yeah,
like he's just not a good dude.
Right.
But you still feel like he's a hero. He's just, you know, Wolfie's in a bad situation.
I don't think he's just in a bad situation.
I don't feel like he's a bad dude, but I also don't feel like he's a hero. It just seems like
he's a
surviving...
Dude.
He's neither good nor bad, but he kills a lot of bad people, so he gets a pass.
He's also a thief.
Yeah, he's...
I mean, the first thing we see him do is rob someone.
Thieving.
Which I did.
I like safes.
I did like that they brought. They at least mentioned it again.
Yeah, I know
that he's a safe cracker. Because
I
like,
know as soon as I saw they show Whispers unlock the safe, I'm like, oh, nobody's gonna think to like Will, who's fucking useless this whole season, isn't thinking like useless. To
wait a minute
to wait, write wait. That down.
Do you want to amend that statement? Like remove the season part.
Will, who's fucking useless.
There you
Will
go.
And Riley, who have just teamed up,
they just
to bone in their uselessness.
They just keep trying to make me care about those two people.
No, they
don't.
Keep no. Here's the most egregious thing with Will and Riley. They keep injecting DJ stands, so Riley has something to do.
Yeah,
there was another one at Son's brother's party, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are we gonna get a second DJ band?
Why didn't they have her DJ instead of bartend?
But her sister, his sister, is the Terminator.
Son continued to just be amazing.
Son continued to just be amazing.
Son, I like Son and her story. I like Caffeus and his story. I like Lito and his story.
Lito's story.
I don't care.
I
about
like Lito's story.
Riley and Will.
I like Lito's story after he fell apart. Like him falling apart and was great.
Fucking crying.
Just bawling.
Why are you here? I don't know.
Why is Lito crying?
I don't know.
The thing that bothers me.
Stop crying.
Here's what bothers me about Leto's story.
It's not that bad.
How has Leto not told Hernando?
Yeah, that's
that
my thing.
Really is it really bothers me.
Yeah,
like Kala, I can see because like clearly she doesn't trust her husband
or really anybody. Like on a basic level.
Yeah, like hey, yeah, exactly. But fucking Leto,
right? And Hernando, like,
yeah, and yeah. You know Leto is kind of an idiot.
So
So like when he has to deep thinking about something, you know that he's handing that work off to someone else, and it's not Daniela. That yeah. It bothers me on a deep, deep level.
Yeah, he's in this, you know, homosexual relationship, which is also has Daniela, so it's like a polyamorous, like pseudo, like I don't even know what their real situation is.
Yeah, she's just like an emotional.
But, like, the one thing he feels like he can't bring this to them. Like this will be the thing that they can't accept.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the crazy they put up with him.
Right.
I'm not leaving this room. I know. That's why I brought you all of this.
That freaking scene, though, where what's-his-face shows up to take Daniela back.
Oh, that was good.
Fucking Wolfie shows up. Just like, you hear a little bit of a wolf howl. Just a little bit.
He doesn't even say anything. Yeah, he does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get your ass kicked by a faggot again?
I thought Leto said that.
Leto said, do you want to get your ass kicked by a faggot? And then Wolfie said, again.
Oh, that's right.
That was some of my favorite stuff this season, when they interjected Wolfie just for like half a second. Like when Nomi was doing the speech.
Mm.
And she goes, if you hurt her, and he goes, I will find you.
That speech was another thing that was too much for me.
Yeah, it was.
Like, because was. Her mom was like,
man,
you're just
she
gonna
all
find...
of a sudden made it about herself.
Yeah, you're going to find a way to make this wedding about yourself. And then the whole speech was her surgery. And it was like, oh, God.
Right.
This is it. This is it. This is how you do it, like this.
What's bugging me about them is, like, they just got off of the, like...
Yeah.
They just got off the rap sheet, right? Like, they just cleared their names, and
now
they're out in public.
Now we're free to be out in public.
Yeah, that's not how that works. Like, you still need to lay low, you just have more freedom of movement, right? Like,
right.
That was bugging me that they were, like, out in public. And, of course, the fucking CIA or FBI agent shows up, like...
Yeah, I did like the... I also liked the part right before the Wolfie got got set up, where he's wandering through back, like just stalking through all of their lives behind them.
What's going on with Wolfgang? I don't know. He's
why
just
is
not
he
talking
here?
To anybody. Does he need help?
Why Come wouldn't on. He ask for help? Really?
You know.
It doesn't sound like Wolfgang.
I mean, it was all right. I just, it felt a lot more uneven than that.
I loved the whole season. I just felt like the end was
unsatisfying.
It was like, really, we're spending this whole season with, like, planning these logistics, you know, weaving it between everybody's interpersonal stories. And then the very last episode, Wolfgang gets kidnapped, and then, boom, they're all in London, like... Everything's taken care of. So unless the next season is literally them going back and dismantling this last episode.
This first half, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, because that last episode was just like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Right.
They just pulled this out of their ass.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, big time, just pulled that... The last half of that episode just out of their asses.
Yeah,
there's just like, there
was
no... It made no sense.
The last episode made me nervous because it made me feel... It reminded me a lot of
Firefly
and Serenity, how they got the movie deal, but they knew the show was canceled. So they're like, we need to get as much shit as we can done right now.
Oh.
That's
were
what
the two of those things
of.
Concurrent?
Huh?
The
no.
movie came, yeah.
No.
Movie came out after the series.
I know,
yeah.
But years after. They didn't know they were getting a movie deal when the series was still on.
Really?
No. No. It wasn't.
But the same...
I watched the TV series live, but...
But the same thought process. Like, they only had a movie.
Yeah.
Right. And that's true. That is true.
And that's why in Firefly, you miss so much shit. And, like, it was years before they went and they filled it back in with books and comics and stuff, like, to tell you what actually happened. But I was afraid that this was happening in Sense8, like... Like, they're like, oh shit, we only have, like...
I wonder...
There's going to be a third season.
Most everybody has already signed on for a third season.
Yeah.
Everybody signed on, but they haven't announced it yet. Because I looked after I finished watching it, because I was curious.
Because you were like, oh, am I going to get the second half of the season now?
Right.
Well, also, this season was one episode shorter than the previous.
Maybe they'll release it over Christmas.
Was it?
Yep.
Are you including
the holiday special.
The twice as long holiday special?
Yeah.
That had a sex scene.
It had 13 episodes?
The first one was 12. The second season was 11.
But it was 11, but the first episode was twice as long. So.
It was
almost 2 hours. Yeah. So. I finished it.
Oh, I think it was good. It left me
turgid.
Wanting more closure. Closure.
There was not a lot of Wolfie in the first couple of episodes.
I know,
there
was
not
a lot of Wolfie in general.
Yeah.
And most of the Wolfie scenes centered around Felix.
After the first, like, four episodes, it was... Wolfie was in it plenty.
I want to slap.
Plenty?
Not plenty. Plenty's not the word.
Yeah.
I need more Riley's dad.
That guy's a ghoul, but he's so nice.
I totally want Bug, Riley's dad, and Felix... To buddy cop something. Just the three of them to go off together, get high, and do something just absolutely insane.
Yeah, that I would happen, watch that. But without Felix, I'm on board.
I would watch that as a Christmas special.
Maybe the other two having to rescue Felix from some stupid shit.
No. That replace sense. Felix with the old woman from the Korean prison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And maybe the Caffeus's reporter girlfriend. Like, all these side characters are really good. Like, I care more in some cases about the side characters than I do the sensei.
Here's what I want the first episode of the next season to be, is Daniela and Hernando and, like, all the people who don't know what's happening but had to go to London.
Characters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did Daniela and Hernando go to...
I don't think they did.
I don't know if they went to London, but like I want them all sitting in a room together like, wait, is this actually happening?
Yeah.
This was another time issue, by the way. So Wolfie keeps getting fucking tortured, and when he's tortured, everybody else is like being tortured as well.
Right.
It is not a short plane ride from Los Angeles to London.
Or China.
From anywhere.
India.
Yeah, any of the places.
Any
they're
of the places.
Kenya.
Kenya.
Yeah.
The long plane ride to be being tortured.
Yeah.
To be
screaming and bleeding all over
the place.
Having
what appears to be seizures. Like, yeah. I don't know how they get through these events without being immediately taken to a hospital.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, if you were to suddenly start screaming, shaking, falling on the floor, and then bleeding out of your face, and everyone's just like, nah.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Hey, we gotta board this plane.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's 10.5 hours from LA to X to London.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's
a lot. What do we call that? La X?
What?
Lax.
No, La X.
It's La X.
La X. All right.
That's not a thing.
I know.
I made that up. It's not a thing.
I know.
Or is it?
X isn't pronounced X in Spanish, so.
I wasn't doing a Spanish thing.
What? Yeah,
then why were you saying
la?
You know, la as a musical connotation, right?
It was French.
Do,
no.
Re, mi, fa, yeah. So, la.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I wasn't thinking about it.
Well, that's not mon mi.
Mon mi.
That's mon calamari. Space squid.
It's a fucking trap.
It is a fucking trap. Akbar knew. That motherfucker knew the whole time.
He was a sensei.
He knew because he was in fucking Rogue One.
Yeah.
He'd seen that shit before. He knew what was going on. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is Mary Poppins, y'all.
How long were you sitting on that?
Since before we got to Qdoba.
Wow. That was pretty good.
I was afraid someone else was going to do it.
That was like, good. We're the backseat producers. All right, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
What are we talking about next week?
That's a good question.
It is. One we didn't discuss at all in the last half hour.
I don't know. Well, not...
Not Sense8. Season 2 Sense8. I don't know that there's more I can talk about with Season 2 Sense8.
Nah.
You know what? Just get the Wachowskis on here. Let's just go straight to the source.
We get Lily on here. Find out what she's been doing since she didn't work on this season.
Who the fuck is Lily?
Lily Wachowski.
Oh, I don't know either of their first names.
Lana and Lily.
No, I have never known their first names.
Yeah. Lana Wachowski is the one that actively worked on this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that it was no longer the Wachowskis, and it was one of them.
Right. And she
maybe that was the problem.
It could have been.
Maybe you need that like sibling strife.
Well, and I wonder how much of it was also Straczynski, because he apparently co-wrote.
Who the fuck is Straczynski?
J. Michael Straczynski.
Come on, man. You can say his
name
again.
He's written a lot of stuff, a lot of sci-fi. He did all of Babylon 5, especially after season one. He wrote, I think after season one, he wrote every episode of Babylon 5.
Oh.
With the exception of something in the last season. Neil Gaiman wrote an episode of it.
We could talk about the movie Happy Feet, since I've already unfortunately seen it.
No. I saw that movie once, and no, I tried to block it out of my mind.
I'm just going to go ahead and publicly veto the What Dogs Are For movie.
A Dog's Purpose?
A Dog's Purpose? Yeah, there we go.
That's fine.
I had no interest
in watching that one anyway.
That movie, no.
Right.
No.
That's the first thing I said when I saw the trailer.
Nope.
Based on the trailer, I feel like I'm going to watch multiple dogs die.
You are. It's like 9 dogs.
Yeah, that's nope.
But it's all the same dog.
No.
No.
That's not.
Yep.
No. You know what? It could be or couldn't be. We're not watching it, so it doesn't fucking matter. And I want you to know that this extends. You're just forbidden from watching it in your personal life, not just...
I vetoed it to my family because they're like, oh, we want to go see that movie. You enjoy that because I am not going.
You're not going to enjoy it. That's not a movie you enjoy.
Trying to get to Netflix now to see if there's anything.
Hmm.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Isn't that a softcore porn?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
This seems like a weird collection of things that they've grouped together for me to watch because I liked Primer. Dave Chappelle, 13 Reasons Why. Blazing Saddles.
We already did that.
No. These are the things that Netflix has listed. Because I liked Primer, I should watch these things. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Louis C.K. 2017.
Hold on.
There's no reason.
No, stop with your freaking Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. Have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Well, here's what I have going on my queue. I watched a French film about these four people who, like, I think faked their own deaths and then moved into a cabin in the countryside and then lived there as a family called Amoris. So now I get a ton of recommendations for French erotica? I don't know is the right word, but I think what this is supposed to be. Such as Bang Gang.
I didn't know they made The Giver into a movie.
They did. Don't watch it if you liked the book.
Probably don't watch it if you didn't like the book either.
Hey, how about everybody stop telling me what to do? How about that? It's got Meryl Streep in it.
It's got Jeff Bridges in it, too.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, what? Yeah, well, how about a teacher? She looks like she's going to teach that kid something.
Gross.
Yeah.
What about Judge Dredd?
I think... Wait. The one with Carl Urban?
Did that, I think.
I'm pretty sure we did that one. That was a good movie if you haven't seen it.
No, I have.
There's all these... Because you watched this, I don't remember watching this.
What does it say you watched?
Holy hell.
Yeah, we watched that. That was a documentary about, like, Christian cults.
We watched that?
I'm pretty sure.
No, it doesn't sound right. Hot Girls Wanted.
La Mujer de mi Hermano. You guys are missing out, man.
Well, this is probably riveting podcast
listening material.
Isn't it? He's going to cut the most of this shit out.
Yeah.
We could watch Punk's Dead, SLC Punk 2.
No.
What the fuck is that?
It's the sequel to SLC Punk.
Have you guys done SLC Punk?
I don't even know what that is.
I recommended it, I think, like two podcasts ago.
Why don't we watch that?
Is it a movie or is it a documentary?
It's an old movie. It's starring, we just watched him in Match. Matthew Lillard.
Is Powers Booth in anything?
Powers Booth.
He just died.
I know, he just died. Yeah, he's in fucking Deadwood.
No, I'm not watching a whole TV series.
Suggestions for you, Kung Fury.
Based on 150 watches of Kung Fury.
Based on the fact that you are a breathing human being, you should watch it.
Based on the fact that you are allergic to water.
That's what binds us.
We have the same kryptonite. I wonder if somebody could use that as a pickup line.
Hey, we both die if we're deprived of oxygen.
Dude, this is actually really frustrating. All right, let's just do SLC Punk. Is this actually on?
Is it something we can find somewhere?
I'm sure it's on Netflix.
It's not on Netflix. The second one is.
I'm not watching the sequel. At some point, I gotta draw lines for me. You know what I mean? Let's watch The Devil's Mistress. Before the dawn of World War II, an ambitious actress pursues her dreams in Berlin, but her plans derail when she becomes Joseph Goebbels' mistress.
Oh,
God damn it. Did you think I was making this up?
No, I just, with a title like that, it can go about a billion different ways of what that's going to be like.
And you know what you didn't see coming? Fucking Nazis.
No, that's the one option I didn't see coming that I would actually consider watching.
Yeah.
How is SLC Punk not available anywhere?
Never heard of this movie until you mentioned it.
Really?
Never.
That is hard for me to understand.
It's kind of like a cult classic.
That's probably why I didn't hear it, because I'm not part of that cult.
I'm also vetoing The World of Tomorrow.
Okay.
That is good. You should watch it.
I'm going to.
I've already watched it, but it's only like 16 minutes long.
I thought The World of Tomorrow was the longer one. Oh, shit. Tomorrow. Oh, you're right.
All right. SLC Punk is in Google Play.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
SLC Punk it is.
All right. Alex, you are the one person that didn't say you had things to spew about this movie. So what'd you think of it?
Oh, you put me on the spot. This was a movie about people
guarding the galaxy.
We're judging you. This movie had a lot of good moments to it. I wanted to like it more than I did.
Okay.
That's
a high level review.
Yeah.
Kayla?
This movie is literally my favorite Marvel movie that I have ever seen. It may be my favorite superhero movie that I have ever seen. It was 10 times better than the original Guardians of the Galaxy, and I wish I was watching it again right now.
This movie was really good.
Tony?
I think it's better than the first Guardians. I think it's... It's number one or number two. I haven't decided yet because I haven't sat with it long enough. Whether it's
It's, I think, the best made Marvel movie.
It is not better than Deadpool.
That's not a Marvel movie. Marvel Studios movie.
Oh.
I'll clarify that by saying Marvel Studios movie. I liked it better than any other Marvel Studios movie.
I think my problem is that I was too excited and like I was all amped up to see it, and then
sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
What disappointed you?
It's hard to pinpoint it specifically. I've been trying to think about it. I know I was disappointed with the story with his dad. Don't get me wrong. I didn't want him to get along with his dad or like have a great relationship or something with his dad. I guess I just wanted his dad to not be God. I guess. I don't know. It just seemed like a weird power creep thing for me.
They ended the power creep at the end of the movie.
They did. That was nicely wrapped up.
So the thing there's a whole lot to like about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. There are problems with it. You can make that face all you want.
I refuse to see or hear anything you're saying.
There was a lot of it that was cringy about the story that he told.
James Gunn. Nope, go ahead.
Kurt Russell.
There's a lot of cringy about Kurt Russell just in general.
Well,
mostly that fucking feathered hair.
No, that's the way. That is Kurt Russell.
That's Kurt Russell.
He's living feathered
hair. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need to explain to me who Kurt Russell is? I know Snake Plissken. I know Jack Burton. I know Kurt Russell. I know Tango. Get the fuck out. I know Kurt Russell.
Yeah. There was just...
I thought you'd be taller.
God damn it. And the story that he told of going to all the planets and impregnating all the alien women, that was just weird. That struck me as very weird.
That was cringy and weird, but to me it just felt like standard comic book fare. To me, I had a huge problem with the storyline of dead mother, now I found my father, who impregnates women. Like, that's just... I just don't like that in general, but it didn't take away like from my enjoyment of the movie because I was enjoying everything else around it so hard. Like
no, and for me it was I wanted to, for me to give an honest review of it, I have to look at it and see if there is anything that I have a problem with. That was probably the thing that I had a problem with.
I would agree with that.
I don't, everything else in this movie from the power creep that Alex talks about, all of that was actually foreshadowed in the first movie, like in really great ways, and in some ways you may not even be aware of because they didn't call it out directly. In the first movie, they visit a planet that is the head of a celestial. When they go to that place called Nowhere, that's the head of a celestial. They are in the planet that is ahead of one of these celestials that Kurt Russell is. So he's not the only celestial.
Right.
There are many of them.
That's why he says lowercase g.
Right.
Yeah. So they establish the celestials are a thing in the first movie. They establish that Star-Lord isn't just human.
Right.
Because he's able to touch an infinity gem.
Yeah. So when the first movie ended, wasn't Star-Lord and I can't remember her name.
Gamora,
like kissing or something.
Oh.
I thought they were starting a romantic relationship at the end of the first movie. Am I misremembering that?
All right. Yeah.
The ending scene of the first movie is her asking him where they should go. And then he's like, let's go do some stuff.
So.
Brilliant.
I'm a writer.
It's hard for me to put my finger on exactly why I dislike it.
Dislike? Holy shit!
Well,
this position has changed!
Sorry, it's hard for me to put my finger on what I dislike about it. Like, what is bothering me? There was a lot of good stuff.
So let me throw some things out there that I've heard in other reviews.
I have a big problem with something in the movie.
I have avoided all of the reviews.
I have also avoided all of the reviews.
So one of the things I heard was the natural tendency of a sequel to take things that were done well and people enjoyed in the first movie and then turn them up a notch. It's escalation.
Like the where's the rum joke in all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
Where, you get it. You like rum.
Where we saw Baby Groot and everybody loved Baby Groot, so we start the movie with an action sequence that's basically just Baby Groot.
I was 100% fine with that.
I loved that.
I loved it too.
By the way.
But I'm just, that was a complaint I heard from somewhere else.
Are you comfortable with this movie confirming the fact that Groot dies in the first movie?
Yeah.
And that Baby Groot is not Groot.
Is that true?
It's a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. He has no memories from the original Groot. Completely new entity. Groot fucking dies.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
Plants grow from clippings all the time, so I have no problem.
I didn't have
any
emotional attachment to the original Groot.
So
he was just Groot.
We are Groot.
Go on. Continue.
One of the things that I really liked was them just whenever they held on to a scene too long, like you know, like whenever Peter is flying around asking people if they have tape. For like 2 minutes you just hear him shouting in the background. Like I like that because I saw that as them like that would be cut out of any other superhero movie. Like nobody, but in this movie like like no, we're gonna spend 2 minutes. We're not even gonna watch him do it.
Did you ask Nebula? Yes. You didn't ask Nebula, did you? No.
She was right next to Drax, though. She would have heard me.
By the way, half of Drax this movie was him shout, like, laughing as loud as humanly fucking possible, or just shouting things, and every time it was fucking hysterical.
It was.
It never got old for me. The ugly jokes with Mantis never got old. You are beautiful. On the inside.
On the inside.
On the outside, you're repulsive. That shit never got old for me.
No. Another complaint I heard was that people felt like they didn't get the sense of the relationship between Gamora and Nebula. Or not. Yeah. Gamora and Nebula. That it didn't feel like it was earned.
I don't know what that means.
And more so that
it was resolved too quick.
It was resolved too quickly. That the Peter Gamora thing was shorthanded. Like because they weren't romantically involved. Like they felt that was being pushed too much.
I actually kinda don't want that in the movie. And the fact that they do anything with it at all is those scenes are tedious.
I don't know. It's the character of Peter, so I don't have a problem with it.
It is tedious to watch.
I'm gonna throw another thing out. When what's the race where their skin is gold? What are they called?
Sovereign.
Sovereign. And that teaser at the end where they're talking about their new way to make people, I wanted them to pan out and to just have like a canopy bed there.
Instead, you got what's his face?
Some tank thing.
Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. That was less interesting.
The other complaint was that you have the entire race of Sovereign using all these resources and throwing all this energy because they got butthurt because somebody stole their batteries.
They spent more time and energy chasing them down than it would have taken to just kill the interdimensional worm.
Listen.
In the first place. Just
based on their skin color being very similar to Donald Trump's, I thought that was very realistic. There it is.
Okay. These are complaints that I've heard elsewhere.
They explained in the beginning that they didn't want to fight the worm themselves because that would have put their own people in danger, and they're so perfect they can't be put into danger. And they couldn't, like, yeah, their people are flying those ships remotely, but that wouldn't have been a way to protect the batteries. Like,
They literally could have parked the ships around the batteries. Just like put them all butt to butt around the batteries with the guns pointed out in every direction and then just waited.
And
they,
it was more
they established that this race of people is so like
I know.
Yeah, but the complaint is the complaint
this
is
not
more
my
about,
complaint.
Oh. Yeah, the complaint is more about after Rocket steals the batteries, the amount of resources spent going after them.
Yeah. I don't
because it's not about the batteries, it's about
ego.
The Sovereign being these like
it's about
crazy
ego.
Crazy egotistical people who
I don't find this a flaw.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I think there are flaws in the movie.
So what flaws do you see in the movie?
Well, for starters, there's a lot of manufactured drama at the beginning of the movie. They fly through that temporal minefield or whatever the fuck they're flying through. Quantum minefield.
It's
established.
Quantum asteroid field.
Whatever the fuck it is. It's established at the beginning when they go in it that it's impossible to fly through. Okay? Remember what Drax says this. Remember when he says that it's impossible to fly through?
Drax isn't very intelligent, though. He's got like a 5 out of 18.
Of what?
On his intelligence score.
Not understanding innuendo doesn't mean you're dumb.
He's a very
intelligent.
Little...
His intelligence role was a dumb stat, is what Alex is saying.
Yeah. I get what he's saying. I'm just saying that
that's
just because you're literal doesn't mean that...
Yeah.
That's more of a charisma problem.
It is.
All right.
Or a wisdom problem. It's established that it's impossible to fly through these things without being destroyed. Yet the drama is not that they made it through. It's that they were arguing about who was going to fly through it. It's impossible to fly through it.
I did not have a problem with that. Because both of them were good enough pilots to have done it.
Oh my god.
I like that. Only the best pilot in the universe could do it. I can't even remember what what's his dick said to it, but
all right.
That smells like a flaw to me.
Okay,
that's not such a small part of the movie.
I know. I'm saying the movie's not perfect.
No.
That's not even the big problem with the movie. The big problem with the movie is fucking Yondu. That's the big problem with the movie.
Wait. What problem?
Wait!
What problem
Everybody
are we discussing?
Old.
Yondu doesn't get a redemption as a father. That's not how that works. You don't show up at the end like fuck up somebody for the rest of their life and be like, oops, and then everything's fine.
Yeah, that was forced. And
what?
I disliked it.
I disagree.
I did not have a problem with that in the least.
Yondu spent most of his life harassing and hurting Peter, and then...
So, we get all that information from Peter's point of view, which Peter's point of view comes from being a child, being brought up, thinking this one thing, that he was kidnapped from a loving family, and that this dude who raised him was harassing him? Like
abusing him?
Okay, well, Yondu, like, the real story is that Yondu saved him from going to his real father, and then is also a dude who lives in space who doesn't have any business raising a child. So, yeah, he fucks it up. Like,
okay.
Like, that it makes sense to me that he could get a redemption story.
Yeah.
Flying in on your magic arrow at the 0 hour doesn't just undo the last 20 years.
It does
because Peter is so willing to accept Ego as his father. He's so willing to throw down everything for this being that he has always known existed and always wanted to meet and always wanted to know, that when it happens, he throws caution to the wind and he just wholeheartedly jumps into his arms and says, "You're my dad. I want to know everything I can about you." And then Ego seemingly is a great guy. Hey,
Not only am I your dad, but I've been looking for you, and
I fought Lopan.
Yeah.
And I escaped from New York and LA. And a prison with Sly.
He sells this story to him that Peter is willing to buy hook, line, and sinker because he's got this idealization of who his dad is.
Especially partially in the face of the fact that he was brought up by a man who he thought, like you say abusive, but really the harshest criticism he has of him is he said that he was going to eat him.
Literally, Peter says that has scarred him emotionally.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm accepting the victim's word on the matter.
Okay, well, sorry. Peter himself changes his mind. Like,
yeah, I mean, Peter goes through some fundamentally worldview-changing things.
Yeah,
in the course of a couple of days.
Sure. Okay. Here's the
fundamentally. You're a fucking celestial.
Yeah, the fundamental world-changing thing you're talking about is he thought Yondu was a shitty dad. Then Ego shows up, and he's a fucking planet that's trying to destroy the galaxy, and then is trying to suck the life out of him. So then Yondu shows up, and he's like, yeah, Yondu was abusive, but not as bad as his fucking planet that's trying to take over the universe. Yeah, you're right.
A lot of people who grow up with parents who they thought were shitty can grow up and often grow up into adults who gain perspective and look back and know that it doesn't excuse it, but all of a sudden gain an understanding and
so here's something.
What is the squinting for?
Okay.
An understanding is not a redemption.
But an understanding can be a redemption for somebody that you thought had done you harm when you come to a realization that they were doing the best they could. And it wasn't out of a place of malice that you thought it was, but it was because they didn't know how to do anything otherwise, but they made you into the person you were. It happens a lot. Okay. It happens especially after people have gone through that phase in their life where they're past their teens, they're in their 20s, they're to the point where, you know, they're full of all the hubris that they have at that age, thinking they know everything, and then they become part of a family unit.
Yeah, I'm never gonna fuck up my kids the way my parents did. I'm gonna do everything right.
Exactly.
Oh wait, actually, this is fucking hard.
Yeah. Oh, and also they did a lot of stuff right.
Right.
I really didn't see that until now. I have to do it. And it's not even that. It's part of being part of a relationship, being part of a family, being a responsible member of that relationship group, which Peter finds himself in for the first time. I mean, at the beginning of the first movie, he's on his own, period. It's him and his ship and his
D's nuts.
Whatever that chick is that he's got stashed in the ship.
No, his Walkman. That chick was just random chick that he had, which, by his own admission, there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
So he kind of was his father's son. If you look at that part of the story, and it's when he meets up with the rest of these folks that now he has a family, and he sees that being part of this isn't just being right about everything and running off on my own and doing what I want.
Like during his flashbacks, why was he having flashbacks? It was during one of the climax of the movie. He's having flashbacks of all these like happy thoughts. Oh, he's learning to control the light with his heart, not
right.
with his head.
Yeah.
So he's having all these flashbacks.
Yeah, we'll just glaze past that part. We'll glaze past the Dragon Ball Z ending.
So he's having these flashbacks of all these memories. One of those memories is a very tender moment between him and what's his blue dick?
Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Merle.
Yondu. Of him teaching him how to use a weapon. And there's no, like, malice between them in that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not arguing with you.
I thought we were having a conversation.
All of my conversations are fights.
I'm just gonna say that I am no longer on David's side on this one.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
It's okay. You couldn't join the wrong team. Later, in your heart, you'll know I was right.
Now, I don't know if that qualifies him for a redemption with the Ravagers.
It doesn't. That was weird, too.
I think it was just to make everyone feel good.
It didn't make me feel good.
At that point, most people, most human beings... Yeah, I loved it.
No, here's
no, most human beings would have grown some form of emotional, not attachment to Yondu, but what... to Peter. And you can feel Peter's regret and sorrow in that moment. You know, this realization, like...
Some crazy Hispanic that I knew once told me that the funeral isn't for the living.
Did I say that?
Yeah, that's you.
You did say that?
For who?
You were drunk.
I've said that a number of times. Funerals are never for the...
That isn't groundbreaking or insightful. That's just how it is. So the dead person doesn't give a shit. They're dead.
But he was referencing the fact that you literally just... like it was like a couple days ago you said it.
Yeah. This was like Saturday.
Wow.
He's so combative tonight.
Here we are.
He was probably talking about the movie at the time.
So Yondu literally sacrifices himself. He had no reason. He didn't have any... It's not that he didn't have a reason. He didn't have to. He had all the tools he needed to escape himself. He sacrifices himself. Like, that's a huge step towards some form of redemption, at least. Like, I'm sorry I fucked up your childhood. I wasn't, you know, I was a shitty father-type figure. Here's a chance to continue living while I die.
Like, I was your daddy.
Yeah.
I love that. That was so good. I really did love that. And I even, considering they let Yondu basically explain to the Ravagers why he did what he did, I didn't even have a problem with the Ravagers coming back and giving him a funeral for it.
I don't know what the Ravagers are. I thought they were like space pirates at first.
For some reason, there's a space gang that also includes the Night King from Game of Thrones.
And Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd less. That's
so,
already over.
Okay, so
I don't understand why the Night King is there.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
I know you do.
So are the Ravagers...
I'm so excited about that, by the way.
I thought the Ravagers were like pirates, but they seem more like mercenaries or something. But there are like a lot of them.
Right.
Like a fucking
Yondu's,
lot of them.
Yondu's crew is just part of them.
Yeah, their space code is hand jobs for all. But they've got like a special port on the side of the ship that they stick their hand through. It's a whole complicated... You know what? I'll explain the physics to you later.
Well, also, they apparently have a big, large enough death rate...
Black glory holes.
...that they have their own crematorium on board the ships.
I mean...
It was a part of a giant ship.
Hold on.
Like, the part that they're flying is a quarter, literally one quarter of a much larger ship...
Yeah.
...that was filled with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have
a crematorium.
I mean, where else would you throw your shit away?
You can't afford to stop at a planet and find... Just jettison hope to find a crematorium, like...
Alex, this is how we ruined the Earth. Stop ruining space.
You can't just shoot dead bodies out into space and then, like, people run into them.
Oh, wait, like they did
them.
Earlier in...
Oops.
Oh, yeah. episode.
Yeah, but that was pointedly a form of torture and disrespect.
You shoot it towards a star.
No,
sorry,
I absolutely get what Alex is saying. I have a really hard time disagreeing with any of this, either side of the argument. Because I get Alex's point, but yeah,
that seems like it's obvious. Like, yeah, maybe it's a little extra, but that doesn't seem beyond what a spaceship would.
Waste
have.
Disposal seems like a spaceship function.
Yeah,
that you would need.
Can we talk about the fact that the Ravagers were actually the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, we can.
Jesus Christ.
Well, then we can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
So when I first started reading, when I was reading comic books in the 80s and 90s, there was
1780s.
Yeah. There was a Guardians of the Galaxy
America,
comic book
new
set,
country.
Set in the year 3000. Okay.
1300 years later.
Yondu was part of that group.
Yeah.
Starhawk, Stakar, Sylvester Stallone's character, was part of that group. The
I was like
the crystalline.
What the fuck is Sylvester Stallone doing?
Yeah, so he's playing a character called Stakar, which is Starhawk in the comic books, and he has these like fins going right here, which he had this like neon piping that went right here. It was like so it was meant to represent his fins. Martinex was the Night. Crystalline guy.
That's the Night King.
Yeah. The massive black guy was actually a massive white guy in the comic books named Charlie 27. He's like a genetically engineered human because they were all humans then. It was humans all 3,000 years in the future or 1,000 years in the future. So these were the Guardians of the Galaxy. About 10 years ago, they made the Guardians of the Galaxy a different Guardians of the Galaxy that were current day, and it was Peter Quill and Rocket and Groot and these guys. So for me, when I heard they were making Guardians of the Galaxy movie the first time, I was like, oh, I used to read that comic book, and I started seeing all the stuff. It's like, I don't recognize any of these characters. Like, none of them. So for me to see that was pretty cool. So I geeked out big time over that. And I know, like...
Yeah, I could definitely sense there was a lot of history there in those characters that...
From that ridiculously long identification scene where they all said their names in sequence. That took forever.
I don't know, Shiloh.
Yeah, you do.
I don't remember.
The fucking like Power Rangers bullshit where they showed the cockpit of each captain as they...
Oh, they were all giving salute.
Yeah. This overlong, like... Oh, I care about these people that have never been introduced and just showed up right now.
It still was a lot less time than Sense8 spent on dancing at the Pride Parade.
Yeah, well, that was a Pride. I got nothing. You're looking for an argument from me?
No. No, I...
You don't have to dig too deep, Tony.
It was...
Taxation is theft.
It was icing on the emotional cake.
Get that the fuck
I liked
out.
It. I really did.
Yeah, it just to me it just seemed like fan service, which I was.
Then his ashes turned into an arrow,
as one does.
Like he Showing whistled, enough. And it flew around and murdered a lot of people, like a lot of people.
Oh yeah, he murdered.
Like he murdered a lot of people. There was a lot of murder.
That was one of the things I also liked about this movie is it felt like. A lot of the language restrictions were off. I mean, they didn't drop any F-bombs or anything, but, like, the amount of swearing they did in this movie was a lot more they do in a normal Marvel movie. But it was completely appropriate for the characters. I didn't have a problem with it.
But they also held back a lot. They said the word frickin' a lot.
Because they don't.
Your name is Taserface?
Oh, God, I really do love Rocket.
Rocket and Drax were on fucking point.
And the Rocket Yondu story was just, that was really good.
That was a good one.
Really
that was good.
That.
The
Like, the, Rocket never admitting to any of it, but you could totally tell he
like,
understood.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I do all this shit to push people away because I don't want them to be close, even though I really do want them to be close. It turns out they really do like me and they keep me around for a reason. They're not just going to get rid of me.
The end to that, where at the very end where Rocket's looking out the window and it sounds like he's talking about Yondu, and then Peter realizes he's talking about himself.
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about how attractive Chris Pratt was in this movie? Like, is that just me? No, it's
just
me?
He was looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, he was looking good.
I liked it when he... turned into Andy Dwyer briefly when he was talking about making an 800-foot Pac-Man and Meryl Streep. And
then he made that fucking Pac-Man.
He's going to make some weird shit.
Pac-Man showed up, I lost it. God damn it, that was good.
He made the fucking Pac-Man noise.
So I was watching him in this movie because I was watching this movie. And that was one time.
And Chris Pratt was on
this
the scene a lot.
Yeah,
stop making excuses.
It wasn't there. A weirdly constructed sentence.
But he had this like facial hair. But, you know, he has like the scruff. Mm. But his, what do you call
them? Chops.
Sideburns. Like the way they were cut was perfectly aligned with his cheekbones. So... It looked a hell of a lot like contouring. Like, if you guys are familiar with makeup at all, like...
I am.
He was hella contoured by this
Yeah, hey, when I wear a beard, I trim it very specifically.
Yeah, I didn't know dudes could do that.
This dick.
I didn't know dudes could do that. But that makes total sense.
Oh, yeah. It slims the face. Yeah, totally. That's why I wear a goatee a lot.
Does it slim the face?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There are some guys that wear facial hair to give them the illusion of a chin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen. Why have I never thought about this?
George Lucas does that. He has no fucking chin. Like, he has a bottom lip, and it just goes straight into his neck.
He'll never hear this because he doesn't go on the internet.
You're picturing it, and you know I'm right. But he grows a beard to give him the illusion of having a chin. There's a lot of guys that do it.
You know, dudes bitch about women wearing makeup and shit. And you guys
play the long game.
Yeah, you guys got your fucking beards. That's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And you see Alex hide behind his beard over there.
Oh, yeah. It's like 3 days worth of scruff. It's going strong.
This is two on the sides.
I don't remember when I shaved last.
I shaved Monday
Friday?
Morning. I shaved Monday morning.
Oh. I'm not sorry. Can we talk about one of the best scenes in the movie?
Any scene Chris Pratt was in?
It does have Chris
His
Pratt.
His shoulders were so broad. Like, where is Andy? Like,
I told you, he was on the screen for 10 seconds.
Andy looks like he came back and, like, he went to the future, ate Chris Pratt, and then went back to film Parks and Rec.
Andy looks like he's Chris Pratt's dumpy younger brother.
Exactly.
That is the fuck up.
Like, looks kind of like him, but you're like, Chris Pratt definitely got the better genes.
He's like, oh, my brother's the perfect one, so fuck it, I'm just going to drink.
Yeah,
he's the Danny DeVito twin.
I'm going to handle this by drinking.
He looked so, like, top-heavy in this movie. Like, all I could think of was, like, somebody was watching Parks and Rec and was like, we need that guy to be Peter Quill. They believed
James
in
Gunn
him.
James Gunn did.
They believed in him.
It was totally James Gunn.
They saw this
and
in
their
him.
Faith was rewarded.
Yes.
So, what was the best scene that you're going
to see? The best scene in this movie is when he's all starry-eyed because Kurt Russell's telling him the plan, which for some reason he's just fine with.
Literally starry-eyed.
Starry-eyed. Then he's like, oh yeah, I put that tumor in your mom's head. And then like, boom, and then just shoots the shit out of him. Like, there's like no hesitation. There's like no awkward dialogue scene where he's like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean? And then there's no decision. It just happens.
Boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom.
And then it just is a thing that happened.
Yeah.
That was pretty perfect.
Great.
Yeah. I liked that he told him that he shouldn't have killed his mom and that he shouldn't have crushed his Walkman in the same breath. So that means those two things are apparently very similar in importance.
The Walkman is the only link that he has to his mom.
Right. And now he's got that Zune. That'll last.
Zune. He's got 300 songs on it.
This is the latest.
Everybody's listening to him.
There's a nerd with a really good sense of humor that put that in there.
It's probably a team of
I would bet it's everyone who made this movie.
I would bet it's just James Gunn. He's just that kind of person.
That's good. I don't. Where do you find a Zune?
I almost bought one.
I did too.
Because I didn't want an iPod.
Yeah, and it was just.
And it was a better device. It was a better device.
iRiver stopped making MP3 players.
I have an iRiver.
I loved my iRiver. My iRiver was the first.
I had the little one, but it also recorded. We used to record interviews on it for the podcast.
Wow. Wowza.
The software doesn't work anymore, so I can't do anything with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have enough stone tablets to feed it.
I had an iRiver that could only hold like 20 songs, but it was an MP3 player, and I was the only one who had one of those, so I was super.
You were the
cool shit. Yeah, it had like a little, what do you call it? Like a
nipple?
Yeah. What's it called? Like a joystick. It was super rad.
You want to say something?
Ever since looking at me, I just went straight to an Android phone. I didn't have any MP3 players or anything. I just made one big jump. It's not cool. Like, I was just behind on technology and then caught up one day.
This is me judging you. Speaking of, the music in this movie, like, it isn't my genre of music, but it's so beautiful, like, the way they use it.
I love the song The Chain. Like, that is a favorite song of mine. It's been for years. And the way they used it in the movie was just perfect. Especially the second time we heard it, when shit is going down.
Yeah.
That was like, when they start playing that, it's like, yeah! That was really good. And I liked how they used, like, how music was part of the plot, too. It wasn't mm-hmm. just, we're playing it in the background, or this is his emotional connection to her. Like, they're quoting lyrics. He's, you know... Ego's quoting lyrics to him, and
oh yeah,
that
he,
was good.
He kind of analyzes the song, and
what I love is they never say it out loud, but Rocket loves the music. Rocket is the one that keeps the music going. He's the one that, yeah, there's shit's going on, but I'm gonna wire this stuff up so we
can
listen to music.
In the very beginning,
and it's Rocket doing it.
In the very beginning, where he's like, "Oh, Peter wants this done," Peter's like, "No." I actually agree. This is incredibly inappropriate. He's like, no, yeah, okay, wing. No.
Wait, I'm doing it with my right eye. Everybody can literally see you doing that. And Bradley Cooper does not come through at all.
No.
Like, there was, like, once or twice in the first movie where it was like, I hear Bradley Cooper in that. I've completely separated Bradley Cooper from Rocket.
Yeah.
They're completely different entities.
So when they said Vin Diesel did Groot, does he do, like, the body capturing for it?
He did for the first one. I don't know if he did for the second one.
I don't know if he just wrote it. Mocap. He didn't do the mocap. He just did the voice.
Yeah, he just did the voice. All 13 senses.
They modulated his voice for this one.
No. Well, I mean, they may have, but he recorded it.
Oh, yeah. It's at a super low, yeah. I mean, super high
yeah.
octave.
God damn, that teenage Groot was so good.
I am Groot.
I'm not boring.
God, this is what it's like.
And the reveal of Stan Lee being the Watcher was really good. That's another. So there's a set of beings, one of whom lives on the dark side of the moon, and he's Uatu the Watcher, and he watches over the Earth. And like in the past, it's been the storyteller's way to introduce bigger stories. To say, I'm the Watcher. I just observe and report. Mm-hmm. What I observe on Earth. So there's been a fan theory going around for a while that Stan Lee is actually the Watcher. And that's why we see Stan Lee as Stan Lee show up in all these movies. And it's the same guy. And he keeps showing up at all these important things. Because it's actually the Watcher. When they're jumping through... when they do all the jumps, which is... That is fucking hilarious. The faces, the way they manipulate those faces is great. But at one point, they pass by Stan Lee with a bubble...
he's an astronaut.
Astronaut suit. And there are these beings that are standing next to him. Those beings are the traditional way they show the Watchers. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, explaining to them what he's done and what he's seen. So that's basically confirmation that he is Uatu the Watcher.
So when you say dark side of the moon, you just mean the other side of the moon, the side that doesn't face Earth, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the dark side of the moon.
There is no dark side of the moon.
There is no dark side of the moon.
I was just making sure I understood.
No, it's it had to do with the fact that this was all made in the 60s, so yeah, they didn't know any better.
So basically
they just didn't care.
Was Tony's like, I'm going to jerk off into this cup. And then Alex is like, I also want to jerk off into a cup.
I just want to. You get jealous of all my jerking.
And now the cup runneth over.
There's much jerk.
Yeah, so that was definitely a fan service moment that I really appreciated. I love that one.
Yeah, I saw someone wrote an article on how that, like, that breaks continuity with something, and then everyone in the comments was like, nah. Like, I don't care.
But that's always been Guardians. Like, that's what I think the strength of Guardians is.
Yeah.
So
it, no, it doesn't make sense. Who cares? It's ridiculous.
Another thing that I thought was interesting is that this movie is set before most of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Actually, the first one is, and this one is set closer in line to it. This movie is set in 2014.
So, it can't be.
It was, because
Stan Lee says that he was the FedEx delivery man who appears at the end of Avengers 2. I'm sorry, at the end of Civil War.
Then that's a problem.
Sorry, Tony.
But it clearly stated it was set in 2014. But they were also jumping through, they said it would twist time.
I mean, how are you going to justify it to yourself, Tony?
So those aliens that were on the moon with him are apparently called Sneepers?
What?
That's what it says.
They're the Watchers.
Called them Sneepers in here.
That must have been a retcon.
They almost weren't in there because that's the Icelandic word for clitoris.
And everyone knows, you know, that what doesn't
though?
Exist.
But so you know what though? Yeah. They were rubbing off all the geeks by leaving him in there. So.
What? They weren't Sneepers.
Yeah, I thought the trivia you're reading was that they were going to make the Sneepers the bad guy.
It says that these are Sneepers.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
Then maybe I'm misunderstanding these pronouns.
This is.
I thought that that's what the Sovereign were going to be. They were going to call the Sovereign the Sneepers.
This is what he was talking to.
Yep.
That's a Watcher.
That's a Watcher. Big heads, funky robes.
So you mean nerd shit?
Yep.
Fucking nerds.
This was the right amount of fan service and changing what the characters were to make the story work for the movie. So in the comic books, Yondu's fin was part of his body. He had a bow and arrow. He didn't control an arrow by whistling for it. But you know what? I ain't give a shit. Because what they presented was great.
That fucking closing scene where Sean Gunn shoots the arrow in the tracks. Oh man, that shit's never not gonna be fun. I have sensitive nipples.
The best part was when he just walks away.
Oh, it's all those little things.
I loved the moment when he and Mantis are talking, he's talking about his daughter, and she touches him and just starts sobbing. That was so good.
Because he doesn't show emotion.
Yeah. Like that. Well, not like that.
He doesn't show sadness.
Right. He doesn't. Yeah. Sadness doesn't come through. But that was really great.
Mm. There's a lot of little clever things. Like Baby Groot stops dancing. But
when Drax is right there. That opening sequence was great.
I thought that was brilliant.
It was gorgeous.
Instead of having to, because I have this thing where watching these huge battles, it just becomes tedious. Like all this gratuitous destruction and oh yeah, I get it. It's super cool.
Great.
Well, yeah, lasers and people are doing shit. But instead, all this shit is going on with this giant monster, and then we're gonna sit here and watch Groot. I was A-okay with that.
Oh yeah, that was perfect.
And that, to me, that is exactly why Guardians is the best franchise that they've got. Like that exact scene there. Like everything that you think you want in the comic book, you don't actually. Like all that other stuff sucks. Like the big fight, that's putting me to sleep talking about.
I like the way they did the big fight in this one too.
There was never a point in it where I was bored, and usually that happens to me in superhero movies. Okay, we're in for the big boss fight. Okay, I'm gonna check out for the next.
Well, and the big boss fight made sense. We're gonna have the two most powerful beings slug it out while everybody else just tries to get the fuck out of the way.
Right.
Because we can't compete here. That's the way those fights should go.
And then when it starts getting boring, we're gonna slip in Pac-Man.
Yeah. So it didn't get boring.
Yeah. Right at that cusp where it's I've seen this episode of Dragon Ball Z and I saw Man of Steel.
so I really don't need this
waka,
again.
Waka, waka, waka,
yeah, waka. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, God damn it. Chris Pratt pulled me back in with his abs. Hey,
that thing that you pointed out is a legit continuity issue. This was supposed to be set in 2014, and the FedEx guy was 2016.
Yep. Boom! Yep. Motherfucker!
That's so it's a problem with the film.
It's a problem with the movie. That is a problem.
That is the most shallow and pedantic nerd shit.
Yep.
That is ever.
Yeah.
I just like. I mean, is this your first
stop
time?
This just being actually set in 2016. Like there isn't anything that actually ties it.
I'm glad that it's set in 2014 though, because it gives it the opportunity for Groot to not be a baby Groot anymore.
Yeah.
Like as great as he was.
Yeah, because they're all going to come together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Infinity War should bring everybody together.
Ugh, I don't want the rest of these.
Yeah, that just sounds fucking awful.
Fucking
Avengers. I have a feeling that half the Ragnarok.
Avengers. Yeah,
Ragnarok could be where we see Guardians enter.
Start to see a crossover.
Yeah, because that it's makes all set a lot in space. Right. It's all set in space. And have you seen the trailer for Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Have
you seen
it was at the beginning
of
Guardians. Minute.
Have you seen the logo design?
The absolute 80s like throwback feel of the entire movie.
Yeah. How it really feels like the same design aesthetics were used for the logoing of that movie and Guardians.
Yeah, because
like,
Guardians had that fucking techno laser shit going on this time.
And I just get this sense that because this is all set in space, that somehow the Guardians are going to run into Hulk and Thor.
That would only make sense that way.
Especially if it happens like in a post-credit scene, like that's where the pieces start coming together. That I would be great with that if that's how that works out.
I'm actually excited for Ragnarok.
This is the first time I've been this excited about a Thor movie.
Yeah, because Thor just looks so fucking bad.
I liked the first one. The second one was a train wreck.
It looks like it's just another movie about getting superheroes to fight each other.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he was so happy when he saw the Hulk.
We're coworkers.
We work together.
That was funny.
I know him from work. Yeah. Mjolnir is destroyed.
Gets his hair cut.
Gets his hair cut, finally. He's got that sweet helm.
The helm with the wings, finally.
I wouldn't know. Stop. There's one thing that I do have a question about that preview. How did they paint Hulk? Or do you think they just put some finger paint in the room and Hulk, like, did it himself? Because, like, I wouldn't think he would sit still to let you paint him, right?
They waited until he was napping.
Yeah.
Hulk nap. Maybe they painted like when he wasn't Hulk. Then maybe. He grew into it.
Oh, maybe.
That's why it looks all shoddy.
But didn't he have like teeth around his head, like a crown or something too? Like some weird shit.
It looked like he had a helmet on.
There was a storyline in the comics called Planet Hulk where he was a gladiatorial fighter, and so
man, comics are so stupid. Yeah. I went there.
Anyway, people are wondering if that's somehow going to play into that storyline, which is why he would look like that.
Like because he was in the gladiator ring?
Yeah.
People are wondering. All right.
Very
that comes important. Out soon, doesn't it? Next couple weeks?
No, it doesn't come out till the fall.
Oh, Wonder Woman comes out.
Wonder Woman comes out in the second.
2 weeks, yeah. We had a long discussion about Wonder Woman. And the dangers.
We always do.
The dangers?
The dangers.
We're afraid.
So the last preview, or the trailer for that we saw before Guardians of the Galaxy, a large portion of the trailer spends time on the island of the, I assume it's the island of the Amazons, I don't know what it's called.
Themyscira.
That one. And I know that is...
I get the nerd shit covered.
No, that's
the mascara.
That is disproportionate to how much time is actually going to be spent on that island in the movie. But I want most of the movie to be on that island. And I know that's not the case.
I don't.
Here's my hypothesis. We will only see the island...
10 minutes.
In flashbacks,
ugh,
they'll be interspersed throughout the movie, because otherwise, the first 15 minutes of the movie, there would be no men.
and that will be unacceptable to audiences.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think what's going to happen is we will start the movie from Chris Pine's point of view and him crashing on the island and then getting introduced to it.
Yeah. But then it would into be flashbacks. To her
and then childhood. And then flashback to her childhood.
That's not what I want.
Well, so here's
chronologically the story is going to be it'll be a wreck to tell it chronologically.
Would it be?
I don't think it would.
Every other superhero movie we get always starts with the same boring fucking opening.
Fucking Batman's parents.
Yeah, fucking Uncle Dick. Yeah, that's Dick.
This one's gonna start. You'll see. Thomas and Martha getting killed.
Shot in an alley. Yeah.
And then we'll see Bruce telling the story to Wonder Woman. Then everything else is a flashback.
Oh no, that's not working. Bruce, that's gonna. We'll see that first. Then Bruce is gonna tell Wonder Woman the story of Peter Parker's uncle,
Uncle Ben.
Fucking Uncle Ben.
And you believe this comic book bullshit? Yeah. That's not how it really happens. That's not how it
fucking really happens.
So that's what it'll be. It'll be they're looking at a. There, it's going to be the two of them walking through the streets of New York, and he's like, "Can you believe this bullshit? This is a fucking stupid origin story. Let me tell you how this origin story really goes." Then he tells his story.
Yeah.
Then she flashes back to tell her story.
He interrupts her midway through, corrects her on her backstory.
Yeah.
He nailed it. This is why I direct movies.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem with it being done chronologically.
Because you want it to be done chronologically?
Yeah, that's probably it.
I just want to spend as much time on that island as possible.
Ah, this perfect land without men.
Let me just
this pristine environment where there's no war.
No pollution.
Why are they learning to fight?
What? Is that the guitar riff over and over again nonstop? Just
always playing.
It's Furiosa!
Somebody pulls out a horn and they blow it just has the guitar riff sound. The magic of Zeus.
See, this is the problem. This is kind of what I want from this movie, and if this was Guardians of the Galaxy, I would get it. I would get a horn they blew that played a fucking electric guitar riff. That's what I would get, but I'm not going to get this movie.
And then Rocket would steal it.
Yeah, and then Rocket would steal it.
No, he would ask somebody to steal it, and he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
He's going to wake up and not have an eye.
He's not going to know where it is. Fucking Groot brings back that severed toe.
We're not going to talk about that.
You don't keep those on. No. We're just not going to talk about this. Taser face.
That's why you don't like hats?
Oh, that scene where they were pushing little Groot around. They were standing around. They were yelling Pouring mascot. Beer. That was so sad. Pour beer on little Groot.
Then he killed that guy.
He did kill that guy.
That was Monks. There was that scene where Yondu is just killing indiscriminately through his ship, and like the bodies are falling through the sky. Like Rocket looks uncomfortable.
Does he?
Yeah, that slow motion shot, like Rocket's like looking around uncomfortably at the amount of dead people falling through the sky.
I thought that was a good scene.
That was a good scene.
That fucking bomb or whatever it was that localized gravity being reversed. He just kept bouncing the people. That was good. That was really good.
I could have done without the Nebula plot.
Yeah, but I can tell that's
it's leading toward
the Thanos. More. Yeah,
it's all leading toward Thanos. I like that Thanos was the creeping doom that we never saw. I did like that.
She's a reminder.
Yeah.
Of that. Just like
their story is a reminder of that.
And I guess I do kind of agree with that criticism that their relationship seemed kind of forced like this. And with the knowledge that, or with the thought that Nebula is supposed to be a foreshadowing or like a continuation from the first movie through this one, which like it really has, this movie is self-contained. Like it doesn't really apply to, other than, you know, Peter finding out part of his backstory and, well, all of his backstory. It did feel rushed. Like, all of a sudden, there's camaraderie. I feel like knowing that they have another movie to develop that relationship, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I kind of feel like it needs to happen. Otherwise, why doesn't Nebula just fucking leave at the end of this? Like, just not stick around.
She did leave.
No, she's with the...
She's with the group.
She's in the Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Yeah. I thought she left.
I think she was going to, and she was talked out of it. Am I not remembering that right?
Yeah,
I probably misremembering it. I might have been misremembering from the tears from Yanu's funeral that were still clouding my vision.
Jesus fucking Christ!
I thought she left, but I guess I don't have a good visual confirmation of either.
Like, I think she gets in the ship to leave, but then she doesn't because Gamora's like creeping on her.
I thought she was walking towards the ship. They hug. And then she leaves.
But I don't think that she actually leaves. I think she just gets in the ship and she's just hanging out. You know what? It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't fucking... Sean Gunn asks her, what are you going to do with your cut? And then she goes in that long thing about she's going to buy a ship and hunt down Thanos. It's like, oh, I was... Thinking maybe we're gonna buy like a nice hat or
necklace
or something. But good luck to you, I guess.
I can't think of much else to say.
You look like Mary Poppins.
Is he cool?
Is he cool? Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Okay, you trash panda.
Is that
better?
It's
so not.
It's
worse. Way worse.
It's way worse.
That's another Andy moment.
Yeah. They call him a triangle faced something too.
God damn it!
Sad.
That fucking point when Kurt Russell changes into fucking David Hasselhoff.
They call him a triangle face, and then he's like touching his face.
Yeah, when he turned into Hasselhoff, that was crazy.
Yeah, well, stop hassling the Hoff.
So the whole brains floating around thing is like... I've seen that somewhere before, and I know it has something to do with some crazy hypothesis that we're all really just brains floating around in space and stuff.
Okay.
But does anybody know like what that's actually... like what the whole story behind that is?
Like in the... in the movie, or...?
Well, in the movie, they showed the brains floating around as the Celestials.
That's Ego, specifically.
It was specifically just him?
Yeah.
Are you guys done?
Yeah.
So, I think one of the things I laughed the fucking hardest at in this movie was such a shitty gag. It's Mantis is keeping him asleep, she gets hit in the face, and she gets knocked out, and the Drax is like, Mantis, watch out! It's such a shitty gag! I laughed so fucking hard!
Stu and Panda.
It was so funny!
Everything Drax did. Like, his way he goes inside to cut out his way out of the beast.
Single-handedly brought down the beast!
He said the skin was too thick from the outside. It's the same thickness from the inside! It doesn't make any sense! I know!
I created what I imagined biological life to be like, down to the most minute detail. Did you make a penis? Yes, man, Drax, I have a penis. Ha! Thank you.
Man, you humans have so many hang-ups.
I'm amazed you're letting me get away with doing this.
It's shedding time for him. It's
they almost didn't terrible. Include Yondu dying.
Oh, that would have been
James Gunn unfortunate. Was hesitant, like, probably because he liked the.
I love Michael Rooker, and it's going to be sad not to see him in more movies. But I thought it was appropriate for this story.
He said, "I didn't want that to be the ending, and I kind of refused to put that in as the ending for a long time. It wasn't how the movie ended, but at the end of the day, I knew that's where it needed to go. I knew that we needed to have real stakes in these movies, which is something we bitch about all the time."
Oh, yeah. No, I like when characters die. Yes, I have famously large turds.
Oh, Drax.
I pulled this up to see if anybody could tell me if fucking Nebula left. But all it's talking about is Yondu dying.
I thought the last thing for her was welcome to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I thought so too.
No, she walks away from Gamora.
Rocket says that to Yondu.
I know. No. Rocket translates that to from Yondu Groot.
From Groot.
But I thought somebody said that to her at the end.
She walks away from Gamora. And my understanding was she was going to go hunt Thanos.
I'm sure that'll go well.
He's the big bad in Infinity War, so.
I don't know what that is.
All the gems
he was in the
that.
First galaxy Guardians.
Yeah.
Galaxy.
All the gems that they've been collecting throughout the course of the Marvel Cinematic movies, he collects them.
I didn't
even
know they were collecting gems.
Yeah. He wants them all so that he can make this Infinity Gauntlet that basically gives him power over all the things.
Yeah, it's a terrible oven mitt.
I got the Infinity Gauntlet as an oven mitt from one of those
loot
crates.
Oh, I heard about that one.
Yeah.
It doesn't work?
Yeah.
It doesn't work as an oven mitt?
They were like, hey, can you guys not use that as an oven mitt? You will burn your hands.
Right. Yeah, it's apparently just a cotton t-shirt that somebody rolled up.
It's really cool, though. So they offered to... If you sent visual proof that you had destroyed it, like cut it up, they would give you like a free t-shirt. But I just kept it because it's way more interesting than a t-shirt. And I gave it to Locke, I think. He likes it. He's probably not going to use it on an oven anytime soon.
Hopefully. I was just looking at the trivia to see if there's anything.
I feel like I had another big point that I wanted to make.
I'm reading the quotes now.
There's a lot of good one-liners in this movie. Like, a lot. I literally never felt bored watching it. I was, like, every scene was either, like, visually appealing or, you know, visually engaging or intellectually engaging.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to call it.
So, Gary Oldman, Viggo Mortensen, Christoph Waltz, Christopher Plummer, Max von Sydow, and Liam Neeson were all considered for the role of Viggo.
Kurt Russell was fine.
I think Kurt Russell worked really well because you believed that he was a sexy mofo in the 80s that went around banging all these alien chicks and spreading his seed both to them and to the planet.
Space seed.
Did I hear Aragorn in there?
Yeah.
I would not have. I love him as an actor. He would not in this movie.
No, you need somebody that has a little bit more...
Kurt Russell.
Cool.
Sex appeal.
Yeah, a little more cool to him.
I wouldn't say that Kurt Russell is cooler than Aragorn, but, like, he is far more appropriate for this.
His personality, you can see how the personality translates from father to son.
Yeah.
Like, the Kurt Russell personality is kind of the personality that Star-Lord has.
Yeah.
I don't ever see Viggo Mortensen... being that guy.
No. Yeah.
Viggo could never be Jack Burton.
No.
Jack Burton was who we needed.
Here's what Alex was talking about. The idea of self-contained minds spontaneously appearing into existence is called Boltzmann brains. This is a metaphysical conundrum raised by quantum mechanics and concludes that in a universe that exists forever, you are more likely to be a Boltzmann brain hallucinating reality than a real being. So that's Maybe that has something to do with what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
there's this whole thing behind it. I don't remember any of it. But I just thought it was interesting because that was kind of toyed with in Space Odyssey 2. In one of those scenes where he's flashing around at the end.
Mm.
Gross.
This movie has a 67% rating on Metacritic.
What movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fuck them.
Volume 2. I don't who's think it's Metacritic?
Get him. Get him.
So
I will find you.
The people that
my wolfie moment.
That seemed to have the most problem with this movie had a problem with the fact that it was a sequel. And they didn't, like, they're like, I was expecting a movie that wasn't so sequel-ish. Like, they took,
what does that mean?
They took all the, like, oh, Peter Quill has funny lines, so we're going to make him have a funny line in every scene. Baby Groot, everybody thought Baby Groot was cool at the end of the movie, so the first fucking 5 minutes of the movie is nothing but Baby Groot. It's like, what is wrong? Like, I don't understand what your expectations of this movie were. Because it seems like the problems most people had with this movie were a problem with their own expectations.
That was like, I didn't, problem. It didn't feel sequel-y to me at all.
What?
McConaughey was considered to play Ego.
That wouldn't have worked for me.
But passed on the role in favor of the Dark Tower.
That's a good fucking call. Now I'm riding the McConaughey.
All right.
Huh, Panda? Huh? Is this getting a little uncomfortable for you?
I didn't... What is Peter Quill supposed to do? Isn't that his character?
Be
that
not funny.
Like he's quippy, mm-hmm. Like...
Yeah. It really... I didn't understand the arguments that the reviewers had. It was like sour grapes. It was just didn't... It was nonsensical.
I thought this movie was better than the original Guardians of the Galaxy, and it didn't feel... Like, I didn't get that feeling from it at all.
It was a
like,
different movie.
It was a completely different movie.
It like, wasn't and it a
stands,
rehash.
It stands on its own almost entirely.
It wasn't just a rehash of the first story.
Other than the relationship between Nebula and Gamora, like, you can... Well, I guess a little bit of the thing with Yondu, too. I didn't really remember a lot of Yondu from the first movie.
He's not in a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
He's more or less just chasing what's-his-face around.
Right.
And then shows up at the end to take the Infinity Stone.
/ troll.
I mean, he doesn't show up to take the troll. He just does.
Like, so, aside from those two plot points, the Yondu one kind of being flexible, because like I said, I didn't really remember him much about him to begin with, since it had been so long. This movie stands on its own as a completely separate entity. Like...
The Yondu storyline in the first one actually like slots really well into this, like why his crew is so quick to mutiny, like because all he does in the first movie is shit on his crew, like and let Star-Lord get away with just about whatever he wants to do. Like Star-Lord just keeps fucking Yondu over, and like Yondu never does anything about it.
Like I remember they get don't the Ravagers or Yondu's crew catch them, and then that's the scene where. Peter's like,
prison.
Oh, damn. Like, that's one of the best parts of that movie.
No, he makes a deal with them. He's like, hey, help us save that one place, and I'll give you this Infinity Stone.
And then he gives him the troll instead.
Yeah,
then
he deeks out, and they're like, oh, should we go after him? He's like, nope, it's fine. It's fine. And he also jerks off into a cup.
Mm.
All right, I got.
Who was Michael Rosenbaum in this movie?
I think he was Taserface, wasn't he?
Was he?
He was one of the Sovereign.
I just noticed that he was in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And one of the trivia. Now I got to see because I don't remember him in this. I like Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, I heard that about you.
He was probably one of the best Lex Luthers there's been.
I agree with this. Fuck Ben Browder. That guy sucks.
Seth Green was the voice of Howard the Duck. Martin X. He was Martin X.
The
crystalline guy.
Oh.
Oh, God. I saw him and it reminded me of, like, Clorox or something. Like, I couldn't get past his appearance. I was like, this dude looks like Clorox and meth combined or something like that.
Holy shit. Miley Cyrus was the voice of Mainframe?
The fuck is Mainframe?
It was a computer voice.
Where?
I missed you all so much. I'm guessing.
What?
No, it's not her.
What?
I don't remember.
The Ravager at the very end, when the Ravagers were getting back together.
No.
One of them said, I missed you all so much. That's not her.
God damn it. David Hasselhoff's character name in this movie is Zardu Hasselfrau.
Oh. She voices a robot named Mainframe. Let me see.
I don't remember who that was.
Why can't I get a fucking picture?
Anybody else?
Nope.
Anything?
I'm trying to get a fucking picture of Mainframe, but apparently... Yeah, never mind. No, this is stupid.
All right, Tony, break.
All right. Next week. What the fuck were we talking
SLC about? Punk.
SLC Punk. I'll forget that.
Salt Lake City Punk.
I cannot wait for Tony to old man this Saint, movie.
St. Louis City Punk.
Tony's I haven't seen it in many a year.
Tony's an old man everywhere on this movie.
It looks like that movie is 20 years old almost.
1998.
Yeah. Your math is very good, Tony.
Just in time for a sequel.
Ugh. Matthew Lillard tried to crowdfund a sequel a couple years ago.
They have a sequel.
Is Matthew Lillard in it?
I could do without a sequel to this movie.
Me as well. Spoiler. To everybody watching or listening, whatever you're doing.
If you've slogged it out this long,
that means that you didn't mind being spoiled for Sense8 Season 2 if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, if you lasted this long through us taking 20 minutes. But what, who was she in the movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I'm trying to get like a picture of her.
I know who Miley Cyrus is.
I mean, that comic
It's just her voice coming out of a robot head.
It's got to be the one at the end that says, I missed you all so much.
It must have been.
That's the only robot I can think of.
I just want to know if Vance Astro is going to be...
Vance Astro.
He's got Captain America's shield in the year 3000.
I gotta go, man.
I got important places to be that aren't in this conversation.
You don't even know.
Oh, I know.